Today, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
I think in one of the interviews, Sunoda himself was surprised that how did he get a contract extension. Yes. He must be like, man, I've tried really bad to fuck this up. How am I getting this?
It's this easy? Oh my God.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode with us at F1 Fan Fiction. We are your hosts. I am Akash.
And I'm Sarang.
And before we get started, first of all, thank you for all the love on our previous episode, the Fireside Chat with Aditya Patel. You know what? Personally, I think it is one of both of ours, favorite episode to both record, edit, and listen to. And it's been so much joy to have you guys reach out to us and, you know, share this across your friends and everyone. So thank you for all the love. We promise to keep bringing such episodes again. On to this week. Oh my God. What a thrilling race towards the end yesterday. A battle of 100th versus first. Sarang, I'm going out of words. Sarang, take it away, man.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? Like, it was so funny, like, 100th of first, like, it's so insane. Like, on one hand, you have, I mean, not a rookie anymore, but like his third year in F1, but still relatively a rookie. And the other guy, you know, who's basically 7-time world champion, Lewis Hamilton, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, wow. Kudos to Lando, but alas, he was not able to win the race. But still, I feel that whatever he achieved today was something he should be proud about. And he'll soon be there.
A win's definitely coming, man. And a championship win is also definitely coming. He has what it takes to win these, to put that pressure on whoever's trailing him or is in front of him. It just wasn't his last 4 laps. That's where it's so. Yeah. It was his day. It was his weekend. It just wasn't his last 4 laps.
Yep. I think. I was fairly confident that he would win the race. You know, except for what happened with the rain. Yeah. But the way he had, you know, maintained the lead throughout. Not throughout the race, but like once he got it from Sainz. Yeah. After that, he pretty much was in command of the lead. And he was dictating the race. He was dictating the pace of the race as well. I think just towards the end, we had that Hamilton had reached him. But that also was because the track was getting slicker and it was getting wetter. So, sad for him. But kudos to Hamilton for that, I must say, because
capitalizing on the situation. Yep, totally.
Exactly. And that's exactly what his strengths are, right? Like, even on bad days, he has a good day. This is, I think, the perfect example of it, right? Like, he had a poor start. He was stuck behind Ricardo for pretty much throughout the race. Yeah. He was going nowhere. And then, even on a bad day, he had a great day, right? Like,
wins with P1. Exactly. Right. but I want to you know, take this moment to sort of use the whole conversations that's been happening. So there's the internet storm and one side's saying that Lando should have pitted. You can see Hamilton pit. Why don't you pit? So hindsight conversations here. Let me give you my take on this and then Sarang, I want to hear what you say, okay? So my thing on the whole thing is, sure, in hindsight right now, it looks like Lando should have pitted, he should have done this and he should have done that. Mm-hmm. But, and there are multiple tweets on this as well. So what if, right? You're about to win your first ever Grand Prix. Behind you, you have a knighted 7-time world champion trying to gun for his 100th win. So he's equally pumped up about this. And, you know, the conditions are such that you never know what's happening behind you. So what if you do pit and the rain doesn't progress as it did? And worst case, it stops. Like the wind changes and it stops. And now you look like a fool. Like the whole, I'm pretty sure the whole internet's going to go, he should not have pitted. Why did he go against his engineers? Like he should have taken the
car. Yeah.
So it's all hindsight. I just feel like he took the right decision for himself that he thought was the best in that scenario. It didn't work out. So, man, heartbroken. Yeah. But that's my take. What's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I feel for him. You know, I do kind of agree with you that hindsight is always 20/20. But at the same time, I feel that this is what, you know, kind of distinguishes Hamilton from Lando.
Totally.
In the sense that, you know, we have seen Hamilton time and again disagree with Bono and straight up say no to any team orders of pitting and things like that. But I think Lewis also knows when to listen to his engineers as well. And I think this exactly was the moment where he kind of, his experience helped him, where he knew that, you know, when his engineer is like third time on the radio saying, come in. So he definitely is onto something. And he took advantage of it. And obviously, I do agree that Hamilton being in the second position always has the advantage of reacting to what Lando does. That's there. I do agree that Lando, you know, he had everything to lose at that point. So pitting was definitely a, you know, very tough decision. But at the same time, I think that he kind of also was in a similar situation as Lewis, where, you know, his engineer was there literally the third time telling him that, you know, come in for intermediates. And he's like, no, shut up. So, I think he, considering how good McLaren have been recently in terms of their strategy calls and everything, and how, like, competent, you know, Andrea Seidel is, I think Lando should have probably listened to his engineers from that perspective. I mean, I can understand if it was Vettel in Ferrari, you know.
Or Kimi at Bahrain. Shut up, I know what to do. And I feel like, so post race interviews, they were with the press next to each other, and then Lewis tells Lando, you didn't want to go in, did you? And he says, no, I did not. And immediately Lewis goes, me too, even I didn't want to go in. I was like, he's right there. I don't want to come in. But yeah, I think that's the experience versus, you know, first time trying to do this. It's sad, but you learn out of it. I'm pretty sure.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure yesterday was a very shitty night for Lando. But the type of a person he is, he's taking so many learnings out of this. I think
definitely this is a investment in his career, in the sense that, like, he lost some today, but I think he gained a valuable lesson which will win him a lot more races in the future. So I think he's gonna be collecting his compound interest soon, I guess.
I mean, it's overdue. Like, if you notice, like, their last two races or the last two weekends as a package have been just too good for McLaren. It's been back-to-back brilliant weekends, both those drivers, even Ricciardo putting that pressure on Hamilton. Sure, his pit stop was a bit messed up, but what a brilliant weekend for both of them.
Yeah, definitely. Ricciardo is, I think, really getting comfortable in the car now, because, earlier on we saw that how uncomfortable he seemed. And I think he also mentioned in a couple of interviews that, you know, after the summer break, he basically got a reset, mentally speaking as well. And I think that really helped him. And, you know, it goes to show that even these athletes who are pretty much the top of their sport, you know, they're literally the top 20 drivers in the sport, almost, you could say, with an asterisk. but for most of them, they are pretty much the top. And even they are vulnerable to, you know, mental health issues. And yeah. I think it's great that these days more of these younger drivers are more open to talking about this.
Oh, yes.
Even George Russell, I've like seen a lot of times him tweeting about it. And even I think Lewis also talks about it a lot these days. And I think it's pretty good that people are talking about it more. And yeah, I think everybody is kind of vulnerable to it. But yeah, great that Ricardo is out of that slump now.
Yep. And I mean, it's sort of been like a balance of equilibrium in terms of McLaren versus Mercedes, because Mercedes is not having it good. I mean, sure, they won a race yesterday, but overall, it wasn't a complete good package for them, right? Like, they butchered their own qualifying, right? Like, Lewis was fourth, like he was fourth and Bottas was fifth on the grid. Yeah. Place where they're usually 1-2. The other cars have gotten faster, or they are not doing well in terms of whatever it is. Lewis bumping into the pit wall while entering was something.
Embarrassing, I think.
he didn't have a good race start, as you mentioned. He was stuck behind Ricardo. But at the end, Serendipity did win. Although just for Lewis. Bottas was still, I don't know what was happening with him.
Oh man, that poor guy. I think McLaren, Mercedes, they pretty much, you know, every meeting they decide how are you going to rag Bottas today. And that's what they decided, that let's give him another engine. I think like Bottas was like, man, I already have an engine, you know.
Wasn't the same reason why he went to the end of the pits last race or last to last race?
Yep, exactly. That's the exact reason.
Why did they change this power unit then?
Yeah, so what they claim is that we want two extra engines to, you know, finish the last one third of the races, which makes zero sense.
I probably am with the Illuminati on this one, where I feel like he was probably put all the way back just to block Max Verstappen off. And what a defending he's done. Brilliant.
Yep. That was just, you know... You know what? I saw footage of Bottas, Max, and Perez walking by before the race, and like this was, I think, posted on Reddit. And, like, people were talking about that. Yeah, these guys basically colluded, and Bottas was like, "Hey, I'm not gonna block you. just go by." You know, they're trying to fuck with me, so I'll try to fuck with them a little as well.
Oh man. But that was, I mean, even the commentators were like, he could have done a better job. And I'm like, stress on the word could. Did he want to? Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
We're going to come back to
That's what happens when...
No, I was saying, I want to come back to your words, 2-week notice. This is exactly what 2-week notice is.
Exactly. But yeah, still brilliant drive by Bottas, right? Like it seemed like he would be nowhere. And then the rain, again, just played into his hands. I think he gained some 9 positions from lap, was it 48 where the chaos started? Right?
Yeah, he was out of the points. He was way down, like whatever, like 13, 14 something. Eventually ended up P5. So that's stellar.
Somehow.
You know, that reminds me. I saw this other meme where it's like, you know, that same old meme of a parent holding the kid, just saving from drowning, someone almost drowning and someone's gone there. Right? So it's like holding off Lando, missing out on his first win. Someone almost drowning, the topic there is Lewis's 100th win. And then someone who's drowned is like, 2 races back to back, I start from 20th and finish in top 5. Bottas. Dude, last race he finished 22nd.
Yeah.
This race he finished 19th or 18th to 5th.
You know what? I get it. He has selected the hardest mode in the difficulty setting.
He's following the Perez route of starting from the finish.
He's like, I'm not winning any races this season anyway, so let me try it from the back. You know, I might just win it. Extra might be the race director might just forget that I'm one lap behind and they might just give me the win. You know, just because it looks like it's a Mercedes.
Oh, man. But it was a fun weekend for Bottas. I think yeah, Mercedes had fun dragging him, and he had fun counter dragging Mercedes back up.
Yeah.
but that overtake on Max just makes me think. Max had a very weird win yesterday.
Not a win. Podium.
I mean, podium. Yeah, I mean,
close to a win.
Yeah, close to a win. But weird podium yesterday, man. What is he? P9 or something? P8, P7 or something at lap 47.
Yeah, I don't know what is going
he had
on.
Given up on himself. We had given up on him.
And I don't know what happened. Like, towards the end, suddenly, like, I was obviously engrossed in, you know, Lando versus Lewis. I wasn't paying attention where Max is. And then suddenly after, you know, once we saw Lando just completely lost it and wasn't able to drive pretty much at all. He was pretty much swimming at point, I guess. And all of a sudden, I see Max at number two. I'm like, wait, what? What's going on
here? Right. What was that? And not that he was struggling towards the start, at least. I mean, he had a good start. He was trying to plow through the field, which he was. He overtook Bottas. Which reminds me. So there was this moment, right? Like where there was Gasly, Bottas, and Max. And then Max overtakes Bottas. And then Bottas is charging on to Max. There's this cheeky message to Pierre.
Yeah, who was it actually? Was it his engineer or was it just directly Dr. Marco? You know,
who knows?
Threatening Pierre.
It could have been. It could have been. Who knows? Who knows, man?
But that was an interesting funny, message. Right?
For context, I mean, if you've missed this, you know. So what happened was, someone came onto Gasly's radio and just told him in coded cryptic words that Bottas is catching up on Max behind you. And that's where they left it. That's where they left it.
It's up to you what you do with that information.
Your future may or may not be at stake.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's pretty much understood by now that, you know, Red Bull and Alfa Tauri are one team, you could say, because honestly speaking, right, like both the drivers of both the teams, like the second drivers, don't really perform at all. So I mean, you have got Perez which you know, I don't know what he does. Like,
oh,
he
Perez
comes in.
Is there too, right? Yeah, I forget.
Exactly. And Tsunoda. I mean, I don't even know where Tsunoda is. What happened to him today?
Where was he?
And let's see. It's 17. Pretty much just Max.
He beat Nikita Mazepin.
Wow. I think in one of the interviews, Tsunoda himself was surprised that how did he get a contract extension.
Yes.
He must be like, man, I've tried really bad to fuck this up. How am I getting this?
It's this easy? Oh my god. And since then, he's been finishing post P15.
Yep.
Like, I gotta try this harder.
Yep.
But Perez, seriously, man, I feel like he's just there with Telcel because Red Bull needs some money for engine next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he'll be a bye-bye once they've got
I think
they
he's
want.
Exactly like me. He comes into work, he punches his card and waits for the salary. That's pretty much it.
And one of those weekends, it'll be like, bring your kids to work. So he'll just get his son along, like play.
Exactly.
Play with the cars. I mean, I genuinely had hopes on a slightly serious note. I mean, nothing gets serious here, but like on a slightly serious note, I had hopes from him yesterday. Two reasons. Because he was up there. I mean, he was being Perez by not going into the pits and leading the race for a few laps.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he was up there. I thought he'd be the Bottas to Max by being that to Hamilton.
Right.
I was like, okay, there'll be something there. And secondly, it was a damped wet track sort of thing. And he's good. He's good at such scenarios.
Definitely.
I'm like, sure, I'm hoping something out of Perez. Mm-hmm. But I guess, he just went home.
Yeah.
Went home.
I don't know what it is with that second seat. It's just cursed. I think that's it. Like, you know, I think Ricardo did some weird juju magic just before leaving, you know.
I mean, I wanna now see sort of like two reactions if we could. One is Alonso's on those GP2. Like, I wanna have the camera on Alonso's face and then like him watching his own clip, GP2 engine, this is a piece of shit, like that thing. And two, Ricardo, like camera on Ricardo and be like, What do you think about Red Bull now as the second driver there?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised because, see, let's bring this up, Sarang, right? Like, we both agree this, that someone at, I don't know, like F1 Sky Sports or FIA or F1, someone somewhere, they've hired an intern whose job is to listen to F1 podcasts. Because We've had multiple coincidences where we've said something and that's gone on to become something.
Yeah, definitely. I think just couple episodes ago, if I'm not wrong, I think we were talking about that these guys should kind of have a rotating panel of commentators, right? And that's exactly what happened, right? Today's race was pretty much that. I mean, we saw Karun drop by, I think there was somebody else as well. I don't exactly recall, but I mean, obviously I was really busy watching the race today. You know, I didn't have time to listen to the commentators and see who's talking what, but but I definitely saw that there's this rotating panel of commentators, which is actually really good. I'm kind of glad about that. I was bored listening to those two idiots for the whole race.
So, to that person who's listening to us on the other end, why don't you get us these shots? Like, ask Alonso, what does he think now about McLaren? And ask Ricardo, what does he think now about that second seat?
Yeah. Well, at least FIA, I don't know whether they're listening to us or not, but... I better hope that they start listening to themselves, because another thing I kind of saw which was weird today was, if you notice, that Lando did a very weird thing, or even a dangerous thing you could say, at the pit lane where he went out and went back in. He was summoned to the stewards, but not really given a penalty. I don't know what's going on.
Lando's not Max.
Yeah, or even Hamilton, actually, because Hamilton was given a penalty, right? I think last year in Turkey or somewhere. I don't recall where, but
to be honest, I need to go back and see what lap it was, because I forget the lap number. But FIA's justification, from what at least I've heard, is track conditions weren't what's the word that I'm looking for? Track conditions weren't as safe. You know, it was raining or whatever. And that caused Lando to do whatever he did. So the benefit of doubt was given to Lando because of track conditions and the weather conditions. But
I mean, I kind of do understand that. It also is like, you know, that poor fellow has already lost his money. He's coming in like seventh. Let's at least give him those three points.
Place position penalty. So you are 11th now.
Yes. No, but I think they could have possibly, if not for this race, they could have at least given him like a penalty point, in the sense that the points that they get on the license.
Yeah.
I think that would have been fair enough, if not for a proper position penalty. But I think that he at least warranted some penalty points for that.
I was just saying, for a change, it was so nice to not see Mercs and Red Bulls on the TV for the longest part of the race.
That's definitely true. I think after the qualification, right, like Ferrari, McLaren and Williams, like on 1, 2, 3, I was like, what year is this, right? Like, because I think the last time this happened was sometime in 2004. And that was quite on pure pace. I mean, agree that, like, there was some shenanigans with Hamilton crashing into that barrier and everything. But still, it was pretty much on pure pace. And wow, like, that's something. Like, all three of them, brilliant drives. Unfortunately, Russell didn't get result as good as it, but still he did his best, I guess, in the Williams that he could.
Yeah, and you were telling me this before we started recording, right? Like, Sochi as a track is more favorable for slipstreams, for those straights, because even those turns are quite slipstream advantageous. And I think Russell lost it a bit there to all of that slipstream disadvantage on his side and advantage to the others that got on him. So, yeah, I mean, it would have been a golden weekend if even he would have been, even if he would have been able to convert this. But nonetheless, I guess, like, he tried his best. So, no hopes lost there. But yeah, totally, man. Seeing Ferrari, McLaren and Williams battle this out. Because I had missed qualification because I was doing something else and I wasn't able to see qualifying live.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the results before I saw the qualifying. Right. And I was like, oh, I need to see what went down for this to happen. Right. Right. And I came back and I saw this and I was like, wow, this is pure pace. This is brilliant racing, right?
Insane, right? Yeah. Yeah. I think Ferrari are doing so well this season. They are finally like making up for all the bad performance that they had last year and everything. And I think they are making gains in the engine department as well. Sainz, especially. I think that was... I love Vettel. I am a huge Vettel
smooth
fan.
Operator.
But Sainz is, I guess, the perfect person that they needed, right? Yeah, smooth operator. As we call... Like, everybody calls him. And I think he quite smoothly, you know, gelled into the team, right? And, yeah... He's pretty much matching Charles and also beating him. I mean, today he clearly beat him. And wow, what a drive. At a point, he was leading the race.
Yeah.
He pitted early. He was obviously, you know, stuck behind, but took advantage of the rain and got himself again onto the podium. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's his first season with Ferrari. Because... Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the second time where I've seen him lash out, I mean, in the adrenaline pump race mode,
yeah.
Not as in an anger mode, but like lash out on his whoers on the radio that, you know, what the bullshit are you talking to me sort of thing. Like, I think I don't remember the race, but one of the races back, they wanted him to come in and he was like, no, I'm not coming in. And he stuck out and that worked out well for him. And then yesterday he was winning. Lando got the better of him, but he was up there. He had a good slipstream, good start. He was ahead. He pitted early, as you mentioned, and then was stuck behind. I think he was like P8 or something, P7, P8. And then his engineers or someone on the radio tells him, we are targeting a top 5 position. And that just pisses him off. Like, we can win like, this.
What the fuck are you talking about?
P5.
He's like, man, I was leading the race just some laps back and you're telling me P5.
Yeah, man. It's like the drivers have gotten their A game, but Ferrari needs to bring their Ferrari game to the pits.
Yeah, that's, you know, the trademark line of next year that Ferrari fans follow.
Hey, but I'm happy with Ferrari weekend. I'm sitting in a virtual Ferrari for this recording, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ferrari's B team's got some issues. What the hell was happening with Gio yesterday?
No radio for Gio. I mean, wow, right? Like, go race. We don't care what happens to you.
Oh, man.
I think, is this how they fire him? Like, just cut off his radio and like just leave him out and not even tell him whether his contract is getting renewed or not. Right? It's, yeah. I don't know what's going on with Alpha. I mean, honestly, because just a couple years ago, right? I mean, Alpha, which is just by name, very honestly, it's basically Sauber, which the real team is. And I think 2018, they were, I think, best among all of these last teams, right? And they just have fallen through the ranks in the last couple years. No matter what, they never have a good day. They never have a surprise result. The best result they get is like, P8, I guess, which Kimi got today. And I don't know what's going on.
Otmar still running the ship, right? For Alpha? I forget who's running.
I don't know. I think it's not Otmar. It's Frederick Vasseur, I think.
Okay.
was the former team principal of Toro Rosso at some point. I think so, but okay. I could be wrong. Okay. Yeah, but he's a fun guy. He's actually a good guy, but I don't know what's wrong. Like something somewhere is not right in there, you know.
I think that second seat is also being contested quite a lot, right? Like this, I mean, Gio's not gotten a contract yet. I'm pretty sure I might be pronouncing this wrong, so sorry, folks, to begin with. But Guan Yu Zhao from China, who's with F2 right now, he's contesting for the seat. I mean, China's probably...
$2 million.
Yeah. Is it 2 or 20 or something? Like
it's sorry, like $20 million. My bad.
Yeah, something crazy like that. There's also contest from someone from South Africa is what I heard. I forget who's the driver from South Africa.
Oh, wow, really?
But yeah, there's some... So basically, it's a bidding war happening for the second seat there. And for Gio, someone's put in a request to the Italian government to help him fund the seat. So I feel like it's all that... cash is king sort of politics that's happening for the second seat is probably putting some pressure on the team and their driver. Kimi is just there for fun weekends.
My theory, I'm sure about it, is right that he was faking it. He didn't have COVID. He was just doing a pre-retirement party, I guess. Because he came in eighth all of a sudden. Come on, he's not recovering from anything. That's very clear. He was just fit as a fiddle, you know. And
so, Sunday strolls with Kimi.
Yep. Talking about Stroll, what the hell was Stroll doing with Vettel? I think
daddy's car seat, so I can do whatever I want. No, but honestly, I think he's been having a good weekend. I think like this weekend, and not just the weekend. I think we've said this in the previous episode and the previous episode to that too. Stroll's definitely finding some mojo or found his mojo, and he's pushing the car. Yesterday was just him being a bit on the nasty side and a bit cheeky, trying to push Vettel into that wall. Shouldn't have done that. But Stroll was being Stroll.
Yeah. I think this year somehow it seems a little weird to me, because every year Stroll, like, you know, does have this one brilliant performance at least once in the season. But so far, he's just failed to impress. I think Vettel has had the best of him for most of the season, I guess. And yeah, by the way, again, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Vettel is now holding the most number of overtakes in the season, which is pretty awesome. And yeah, Lance, I don't know. He was doing well actually today through the race, but I guess after the crash with Vettel, I think it didn't go well. And obviously Vettel as well. Turned up 12th, so overall a poor day for Aston.
Right. Just out of fun, I'm looking at some stat of Stroll versus Vettel in 2021. Championship wise, Vettel's is sitting at 12th, Lance is at 13th. And then best race, Vettel's obviously gotten that podium, Lance is at 7th. Both have had equal DNFs, but the number of overtakes that, as we mentioned, Vettel sitting on the top, and two podiums, one that was taken away from him. Okay, sure.
Yeah. Whatever.
But the two podiums that he's had, right? So yep. Vettel's showing his veteranship there as well.
Yep. Veterans, right? Alonso, what was he doing, man?
Folks, I guarantee you these are not scripted transitions. I don't know how this is happening.
Yeah, but Alonso, what the hell was he doing, dude? Like, I'm pretty sure everybody saw, and the commentator said this as well, that, you know, he was doing this practice run through the bollards, right, and turn to escape route. And that's exactly what he did in the first lap, right? He just went for it, like.
I was watching this, and right, like, I told to myself, like, I'm pretty sure he's not going to even attempt a turn. He's going to go and gun for it. And then they show the top helicopter shot. And you can see he positions his car so well that no one can question him because it might look like he's going to run into someone. So like, but he just goes straight. I don't think any braked until he reached the barriers
to
curve his way around.
It didn't seem like at all. Like, I think he just skirted the boundaries, you know, so beautifully of, you know, the just the gray area, right, in general. Like, he was right in there, you know, just so that, you know, he gave two places after that. I think he gained four and then gave two places. And then I think somebody even asked Michael Massey about it, but he said that, you know, since he gave back positions and he didn't actually gain time as such. So from that perspective, they didn't penalize him. And again, lap one, turn two as well. So, but yeah. But that was really cheeky and smart by Alonso, I guess.
A, he had a good start. So he was, I think, already up by one or two positions.
As he always does, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's good at it, exactly. Right? And then post that, he gained two more positions just by doing this. I was having a blast and I was like, what is this guy? I love him.
And he was driving brilliantly, right? Like, as we mentioned, like, Max was obviously not having a good time on his second stint.
Yeah.
In his, I think, softs, no, mediums. And Alonso at that point had overtaken him as well, right? So again, Alonso was driving brilliantly at that point. He started sixth, came in sixth. So, wow, again, kudos.
I was actually waiting for a team radio message on Perez because Perez was right in front of Max. And I was waiting for a team order switch.
Right.
And then they switched the cameras. They strolled us on cameras to some fight happening somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then Alonso switched. I'm like, wait, where did Alonso come from? What's happening with Alonso?
Oh, talking about strolled, right? The TV direction, dude, was terrible today. I mean,
there were so many battles gone.
There were so many battles which they didn't show. Mainly, Vettel versus Charles. Like, we were seeing that battle on that side screen of Max's, what do you call that? The cockpit cam, right? We were seeing the battle from his camera and they're not showing it on the main feed. And we are seeing some, you know, Hamilton doing laps.
dude, first of all, like, Vettel charging down the field was just too brilliant to watch. But what was it? Like, over three or four corners, they going back and forth of each other. What a brilliant battle that was.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I think at one point, Max was probably looking at that battle and he was obviously pumped, right? He was just cutting through the field and he was super pumped. He was like, you know, just waiting to pounce on it. And at one point, there was, I think, almost Aston Ratty bull sandwich, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
He could have been taken out there.
Yep. I think that was a very risky move by him. In general, very honestly, it felt to me like for a change, Verstappen was in a, you know, less pressure situation of a race today. And he was more like just having fun and like, you know, I'm just going to go for it. Because very honestly speaking, he got the second position, but I feel he didn't actually manage his race very well. Because to think about it, he started on hards, right? And he chewed through his tires because by lap, I think 26 or something, his tires were gone. His front left was all
visible on the camera. He was
exactly. And in the meantime, Lando and Hamilton are on mediums and they're comfortably going into like the 28th lap or something. So obviously he was not maintaining his tires correctly. He was having a poor time in his mediums as well. And and then he just, just got the second position. Anyways, what was I talking again?
Vettel versus Leclerc is where we were.
But how did I reach Max, dude?
Because Max was in the sandwich there. He could have ended race with the two of them.
I'm still buzzing with the race. I don't know why.
Yesterday was... And to be honest, like, the first 20 laps were dry. I was like, okay, this is an okay race. For this episode, I don't have much points to take. And then something happened. Okay, we can talk about this. Uh-huh. And then the last five laps, my brain exploded, man. I was like, I have... This season, to be honest, has just not disappointed, right? Like, one or two races here and there, but I feel like... And this is what I want to see next season too. When these cars get tighter, we see the amount of competition, overtakes, battles, rivalries for even like not just championship one and two, but you know, if Lando would have won yesterday, he would have gotten so close to Bottas in terms of points that there would have been a good battle for P3 and P4. Right, so it's the season's shaping up really well.
You know something, like of all the races, Russia, which has been a boring as fuck race, you know, for the past many seasons. And in fact, I think next year onwards, we are not coming to Sochi Autodrome anymore. I think we're going to the other one. I forget what the track name is. But basically, you know, everybody was rejoicing about that news that we're not getting coming back here. And then suddenly we have this... You know, mind-blowing race today. I think somebody is probably reconsidering things, but
I hope it rains whenever, if they do it back in Sochi, because Sochi without rain is probably not as fun.
Bring out the sprinklers, as Eccleston says.
Man, they should bring him some time back if he can still walk around and be somewhere. I don't know where he is. Just have fun with him. Anyways, on that note, let's wrap it up here. This was a good chat, good episode. The race yesterday was brilliant again. I mean, if we fumbled our way throughout the episode anywhere, then folks, keep in mind we are still out of words for whatever's happened yesterday. Too many things to process. Too many battles missed, probably. For the guy who's listening to us from F1 FIA, let's get some good camera work done too. We'll see you on the next episode. Until then, this is F1 Fanfiction signing off.
Bye-bye.
For smarter money decisions, LendingTree can help. With the LendingTree app, you can track your finances, compare loan rates, and find ways to cut monthly bills. Download the free LendingTree app and start keeping more of your money. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS number 1136.